Okay, are we on? Hello? Okay, there we go. I'm just thankful for the Simple Summer Series that we've been doing. I've just been so grateful for what Pastor Jordan has brought forth and in the messages that we have been learning. I think that God's got great ways of giving testimony how good he is, how great his love is for us, right? We can get caught up in the moment of life and think that God has forgotten us. But no, let's just pick up where he is and go forward. Amen. So what I'm going to do today is I have a story, and I don't have the first part of this on the screens. The story that has come to me that I've enjoyed through the years is in Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. So this story is about, I'm just going to give you a quick highlight if anybody doesn't know who Joshua is. Joshua was the next leader after Moses. They were still in the land of in the wilderness, and they were coming into the land of Canaan that God had promised them to walk into. Moses kept telling him over and over, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. When you're facing a new thing, you need to be strong and courageous. You receive strength from the Lord to show you exactly what to do. And with boldness, knowing you're not going and doing it by yourself, God is with you. Amen? And so in Joshua, as they came, we all know the story of Jericho. I'm not going to go over it. But he sent two spies into the land to spy out Jericho. And I thought it was kind of interesting because originally Moses sent 12 spies in to view out the Canaan land, right? And 10 of them came back with a bad report. So it was only Joshua and Caleb that came back with a good report. And so I think Joshua had some wisdom there to only send two. Amen? Two that can agree with God. Amen? And so Joshua sent two of the spies in, and as they came into the land, these two spies, they came into Rahab's house, and they stayed there. Now, Rahab and her family were innkeepers, and their house was built within the wall around Jericho. Jericho in itself was only about 7 acres, 7 acres around of land, and 650 yards around. It wasn't all that big. So when you hear the thing of Joshua as they marched around once every day. But think of Rahab and her family living within the wall, and every day, here's this strange group of people coming out, and they're walking around the city, silent. Second day, third day, fourth day. And on the seventh day, they did it 7 times, had a shout, and the wall fell down. That's Jericho. But we're going to go back to these two spies. They came in and they lodged in with Rahab. And the soldiers, after they heard that someone new had come into town, came to Rahab and said, where's these men that came in to see you today? And she says, I don't know. They went the other way. When the gate shut, they went out. But literally, she took them up onto the rooftop and she hid them under the flax, stalks of flax. And so Rahab, after she had sent the soldiers away, she came back up to them, and she said in Joshua 2:9, she said, I'm just going to read a few scriptures here. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. They knew something. Something's up. We're in trouble, right? For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings on the other side that you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted. Neither did spirit or courage remain any more in any man because of you. And here's the scripture that I want up on the screen, because she says this several times in this account. And this is her testimony. And this is the words that she spoke was what God wanted to proclaim and prophesy into the land of what was going to happen. And she said, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. The Lord your God. The Lord your God. He is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. And this is quoted also out of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, whether they did as a family or as innkeepers have an idea that there must be a God out there somewhere. I don't know that they maybe knew Deuteronomy, but the Lord can put words in your mouth, bring things back to your remembrance if they had heard it, and that's what she said. And so we had heard about it, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. And so we're going to go on from here and talk about her confession. Her confession of faith was that God, there's a God in heaven and he's for me. There is a God and I want to know him, right? There is a God in heaven and I want to, he's for me. And so her confession of faith brings her to a place that in Hebrews chapter 11, she gets in, her name is written in the hall of faith. In those chapters on faith, Rahab's name is written there because of what she believed. And also again in James 2, it says because of her actions. She not only just believed, but she acted on what she believed, right? There's one thing that the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth, right? And as you confess it and say it, there's an action that comes to it. There's a believing and then there's a confessing. There's a believing and a confessing and then there's an action. Amen? So I just want to look about that for a moment. And for what she said, in Psalms 91, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, on him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. Come on, this is what they were saying. Who is your refuge and your fortress? Who do you run to in the moment of trouble? Do you really trust the Lord in your situation? In Proverbs 18, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. When we run into God's presence, when we run to him in the word, there's a peace that comes with it. There's a love, there's a confidence in knowing I'm comfortable with God. He loves me. I trust him and he's got the situation. And so it brings peace. It makes you relax and have a confident fellowship time with him. That's what prayer is, right? Well, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Arrange my day. That's prayer, okay? A conversation. And so she, not only was her confession and her faith was there, but she asked for all her household. Let me just see where it goes. Now, I pray that swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, come on, she saved their lives, that you would also show kindness to my father's house and give me a sure sign and save alive my father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all that they have and deliver us from death. So she's had such boldness in knowing that if God loves you and maybe he loves me, would he save my whole family? Because surely she knew that this city is going down, right? And so the man said to her, our lives for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. And so she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the town wall, so she dwelt in the wall. And they said to her, when you come to the land, you'll bind this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you will bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and your father's household into your house. Come on, this sounds like Passover. Come on, before they left Egypt, Moses told them to put the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost and said, anyone that is in your house, do not let them leave the house because it's not my problem then. They need to stay within the ark. Stay within the ark that's surrounding the protection of his word, right? And so this is what they're saying to her also. And so they took this measuring cord they had with them. Sorry, my hubby painted it for me. There you go. Okay? But they had the red cord, and it's interesting that they had a red cord. Come on, they use insects to dye the cord and everything, but the cord was a measuring line because they knew how to find out how big the city was, how tall the walls were, everything, and it also saved their lives and let them down by this rope out the window, and they were gone. And that was Paul and Silas, right? They let them down the basket of the wall in the New Testament, and they were saved. And so as for all her household, they stayed within it. There's household salvation for all that call upon the name of the Lord. Just because you may be the only one saved in your house does not mean that God's got a covering and a plan for your whole family, for your extended families, your cousins, your grandparents. Come on, God's got a plan. He loves household salvation. And so this is her. She's like, all of my family, include all of us in to this grace and this mercy and this love that God has. And come on, it even happened with Paul and Silas when the prison was shaken, the earthquake came, and the jailer was ready to kill himself. And Paul says, wait, I'm still here. And they went to the jailer's household. And the whole household got saved. The whole household. So your life, marked by the blood of Jesus, can change your whole household from generation to generation. Come on, there's a lineage. There's a roll going down through that will mark you. Rahab did not know what was going to happen next after this. But her name is written in the Matthew chapter 1 of the genealogy of Jesus to come. Come on, Rahab was taken back to the camp and she married Salome, which I'm way ahead of myself. I'm way off here. Married Salome. I don't know why I do papers. Married Salome and Obedom, and then Jesse, and then King David. Come on, all the generations down the line, this was the lineage of Jesus. How could God use this woman, right? But he does. He sees the things that may be shameful or guilty or not wise or not great. He can grab hold of it, and he can change your life and make it and do something with it. The old washed away, the new has come. Amen. By the blood of Jesus, by the cord that he strands through your family into the next generation. Come on, when you're serving God and when you're loving him, don't always just, yes, think about you and you enjoying your presence, but think about making such a strong foundation, a strong statement in your life that it would last to the next generation. Come on, and the next generation. You want your great-grandchildren to say, my grandparents told me that God did this for them, right? And he moved greatly in their lives, and he can do that. He can make a lineage from generation after generation. He's not forgotten about what is in front of you. And so her household, all of them were saved. After the walls fell down, the spies went in and brought out all her household and put them outside the camp. And then she married Salome, and the life went on. But I thought it was kind of interesting of Rahab's heart, right? That even though, like, the fear, 6 days of an army surrounding, seven times, oh my goodness, what are these crazy people doing? But the fear, right? She said originally in the testimony that their hearts did not, their hearts melted, neither did spirit or courage remain any more in any man. Come on, but this woman dared to believe God, dared to believe the word, the integrity of the spies that were sent and brought into her household. There was something about them that caused her to trust God, right? And so she believed. It's right, we believe in Romans 10:10. With the heart, a person believes unto righteousness. Believe that you have a right standing with God, right? With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, I thought this was an awesome scripture. And I just thought, you know, God is so searching and looking for hearts of people to show himself strong in their behalf. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to them. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. Because they didn't trust him. The first part of that, the eyes of the Lord, God is searching for you. He's searching to show himself strong on your behalf because of your heart. Because of your heart. Come on, we may not all do things perfectly, right? And the enemy loves to natter and bring condemnation and shame and guilt. But God loves your heart because you love him. He says he sees your thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows them. And so relax. And if the enemy is nattering, turn and say something to him. Turn and say something to him. You can't replace a thought that's repetitive in your mind by another thought. You have to replace that thought by saying. You take no thought by saying. So put the word of God in your mouth. I am the redeemed. I am sanctified. I am made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His blood has cleansed me. Right? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." He's after your heart. He's after you that way. Jeremiah 29:13, and says, and you will seek me and find me, and when you search for me with all your heart. Come on, there's so many distractions in this world. I don't know. I have to close myself up in the church or my bedroom or whatever, and there's just too much going on, right? When you search for him with all your heart, you guard and protect it. You guard and protect it. He will guard your heart and your mind, right, in him. That he sees how you're just searching for him. So her action was to take this scarlet cord and put it in the window. And so that when the walls fell, the spies knew exactly where to find her. Come on, the blood of Jesus. The blood is an agreement. Blood seals the agreement of what God has done for you. It is all through the New Testament when Jesus, the blood that he shed, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, the blood of when he was praying, that his even his tears mingled with blood. Come on, a sound mind, a sound mind. His blood was given for a sound mind, right? No fear. The love of God. His blood is an agreement. It's a seal on you. It gives you a freedom, a confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies. But by the blood of Jesus, all through the Old Testament, when they were building the tabernacle and the temple, they would sprinkle the people with blood. They would sprinkle the candlesticks, the table, the showbread table, everything with the blood of Jesus. His blood cries out. He cries out for you. You are purchased and bought with the precious blood of Jesus. His precious blood. No other blood could have cleansed you, sanctified you, brought you out of darkness, brought you into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son of His love. His blood purchased that for you. A great price, a hefty price, a weighty price was paid for you. You were ransomed. You were held captive in this world under the chains of darkness. But His blood came in and set you free. Think of you as being in that jail when the earthquake came and the blood was poured out. Come on, the shackles were removed from you. Deliverance came to you. Freedom came to you. Come on, you have been set free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so when things natter you and things try to keep you under, turn and say, I am the redeemed. I am alive in God. His presence lives in me, and I'm cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a tangible proof, a guarantee of life. Come on, at the Passover, we already did that one. In him, in Colossians, I'm sorry, I messed up your screens there, Doreen. In Colossians, I just thought it was so good, talking about the payment of ransom. Come on, Colossians 1:14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Come on, I blot out your transgressions by his blood. If there was a whiteboard here with everything, everything that you had ever done, his blood poured out and washed it white as snow. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's the past. It's gone. You're a new man. It's before Christ. It's in BC. Come on, it's gone. It's washed. You're clean by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And so in Ephesians 1:7, it says the same thing as Colossians, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. But Paul adds on then at the end of this, according to the riches of his grace. He is so gracious and kind towards you. His grace and his mercy is extended so deep and wide for you. Amen? Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off were made nigh or brought near by the blood of Christ." His blood will bring you in to his presence, into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. His blood will set you apart. He's broken down the middle wall, a hostile dividing wall between us, making peace. He broke down the wall. He broke down the division, and he gave us access before the throne of grace. Amen? Isaiah 1:18 says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen? Amen. White as snow. White as snow. I had to wear white today. White as snow. Washed, washed, washed in the blood of Jesus. I am white as snow. My mind has to be transformed by the Word of God. The part that we battle most in life is our minds. And if our minds can get into an agreement with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God, we will have great victory in our lives. Our minds would try to be attacked by the enemy to belittle who we are and what Jesus has done for us. With a great price, with a great sacrifice, he has bought with his blood, a provision for you to have your mind transformed, sanctified, and cleansed in him. Amen? Amen. It's his blood. Hebrews 9:12. "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption." In the Godspeed translation, it says, "He secured our permanent deliverance." Permanent deliverance. He secured it for us by his blood. Verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins or of the punishment." The Amplified says, "There's a release from sin and its guilt." There's a release. When you come to Jesus, the blood of Jesus washes you from the inside out. And there's a release. How many can testify that when you asked Jesus into your life, there was a peace, there was a weight that came off you, there was a peace that came into you, and I just felt squeaky queen, clean queen. Amen? Amen. So with all of that, it just, Rahab just had, she just did it so good. I just liked what she did. She just trusted God. She did exactly what the spies told her to do by leaving the cord in the window, bringing in all her household, and she was saved and delivered. The whole Jericho was burned with fire. Not an animal, not a kitty cat, not anyone survived. They were all killed and dead, but for Rahab and her household, because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? And Rahab says, "For the Lord your God, he's God in heaven and earth and on the earth beneath." When you come against impossible situations, nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible to him who believes. To him who believes. Do you want your name written in the Hall of Fame and for the faith chapter in Hebrews 11, if it could be written? I think there's many things that we would be written down of, "I believed God, I trusted, and this happened." Testify, testify. Look what happened when Rahab heard the testimony of what had happened about the Red Sea, what had heard happened about the kings. She believed that God, if you can do the impossible, you can do something with me. Amen. She was in an impossible situation. And so in Isaiah 59, it says that when the enemy, I want to read that all, Isaiah 59, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." Amen. The enemy, when he tries to attack you, God is on your side. God will bring and up remembrance of his word within you and give you a boldness to say no, no, no. Amen. God will lift up a standard against it. In Psalms chapter 46 verse 1, it says, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble." Psalms 18:30, "He is a shield to all those who take refuge and put their trust in him." He is their shield. Come on, the shield of faith. He is your shield, that if you put your faith out there before you, God will always make a way where there seems to be no way. And so in Psalms 107, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, when they marched around that seventh day and the last day, they said on the seventh time, they shouted. What do you think they shouted? Redeemed God, Lord of God, of heaven above and the earth beneath. I don't know, what did they say? But whatever they shouted, walls fell. Things changed. The enemy was destroyed. Amen? Because they said so. They shouted. And I think we need to kind of, and I saw a movie the other day, I just thought it was cute. And anyways, they were celebrating a remembrance of something that had happened. And they would go up to the top of this mountain on the anniversary of that day and stand there and shout to the top of their lungs. Right? Victory. Victory. God, I just released the things that have been topped up and kept within me. I just release it unto you. Sometimes you need to get into your bathroom or your car or your backfield or the barn and give it a shout. Come on. Shout out what you believe. Shout out to the Lord because he will hear you. You are the redeemed and he loves you. He loves you. So that pent up frustration or whatever, just shout it out and shout about his mercy. Shout about his goodness. Shout it out how faithful he is. Shout it out, Lord, you brought me through this and that. Lord, I just shout about your goodness in my life, in this land where I live. Amen? And so Rahab was saved and brought out, and the lineage was there. There was no guilt or shame. And I thought it was so good. There's a scripture that says a three-strand cord is not easily broken. That when you entwine your life with God, it's not easily broken. He will keep you in those difficult situations. If we just trust him. We need to abide in him and follow him, right? He wants us to come out from among them and be separate. You know, he talked to the Israelites over and over. Don't marry the Canaanites. Don't marry the Hittites, all the ites. Don't marry into those families. Come on. Don't let the ites into your household. Come on. We don't need extra ites in our household. We need to cleanse our household by the blood of Jesus. Go through your doors in your home. I plead the blood of Jesus. If your teens are out and you don't know exactly where they are, I just plead the blood of Jesus over their lives, over their vehicle, over the friends that they're with. I just plead the blood of Jesus right now for safety, protection, health, deliverance. I just plead the blood. I plead the blood. We need to make much of the blood. Come on, in old-time preaching, they preach over and over and had many songs. We even sang this morning about the blood of Jesus. The blood will, when it's applied to your life, it will make a dramatic difference. Put it in your mouth, say it with your heart, and confess it, and you will have deliverance. You will have safety. You will have breakthroughs. You will have things come unto you as full supply of what you've been praying about, a full supply to meet that need, that lack, whatever is needed, that the timing is there. God will pour it in. The blood of Jesus will make a way. Come on. The blood of Jesus will sanctify your household. Sanctify your spouse. If he's not walking or she's not walking with God, plead the blood of Jesus over his pillow, over his life where he sits. Plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood. His presence will be marked in that place that every time they sit down, they're like, every time I sit down, I just can't get away from this thought. I just can't get away from the presence of God. I just can't get away from wanting to know more. That's something about that. The blood of Jesus will change your life when you apply it. Right? When you apply it. When you have a stain in your life and you need to use some shout. I had white pants on this morning and I got there and I thought, there's something on my pants. And so I had to take the shout and shout it out. Come on. The stains come out easily with the blood of Jesus. Shout it out. Shout it out your deliverance. Shout out your provision. Shout out your equipping. Everything that you need, put it in your mouth and say so. Amen? Testify. Testify from the north to the south, the east and the west. Testify of his goodness. Testify of his provision. Testify of his love. Tell those people. You know, you never know when the last time you speak to a person, right? gracious words, words in due season. Speak out God's goodness. Speak out his love and treasure the moment. Treasure that moment with them. Come on, you may take for granted that they're going to be there tomorrow. Well, they may not, right? You need to just treasure and believe God. Believe God that he can lead you into moments of transparency, moments of just loving him, moments of sharing fellowship together, moments of just knowing until we meet again. Amen? Amen. So there's a God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. And so I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your love for your people. I just pray, Lord, that your presence would go with them in their vehicles, in their cars, in their homes. Lord, that as we apply this message with our heart and with our actions, Lord, as we bind the scarlet cord of redemption into our doorposts, into our windows, into our houses, into our cars, into our children. Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus, and we thank you for safety, preservation, deliverance, and health in Jesus' name. Be whole. Be whole. The blood of Jesus will make you whole. Come on, when you take communion, picture yourself when you're his broken body. Do it at home. It's up here. You can have it anytime you come in to church. And through the worship or whatever, you come and receive communion and take it back to your seat. Nobody else has to know. It's between you and God. I take this body that has been broken for me, and I receive it. And I'm so thankful for it. And I drink this blood, and this blood has purchased me, redeemed me. This blood, this little bit of grape juice, now think of swallowing it. It's in my mouth. It's in my face, it's in my throat, it's in my chest, it's in my stomach. It goes through to every cell, every tissue, every vein, every organ. Come on, think of it. Put your imagination. Think of the blood of Jesus coursing through your body, coursing through every vein, making you every bit whole. Amen. Amen. You're a blessed people. You enjoy your summer. Enjoy your times together as family and as friends. And we just welcome. Word prayer is going to be here shortly. If you have a need, come and pray. Come and find agreement, right? A three-cord strand is not easily broken. Find someone to agree with you on the promises of God, and you'll hold it. It'll hold you firm. It'll hold you steadfast, unshakable, and unmovable in the ways of God. Amen? Amen. Be blessed.